Hi, everyone. We're back at Halas Hall, another edition of Bears All Access. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman. Pleased to be joined by Victor Cruz, the new Bears receiver, in person here on the show. He's got personality. He's got playmaking skills. I mean, it's everything that you want in a Bears All Access guest. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
You know, you come to a team, you have a reputation, and then you kind of get a little bit of a look-see through OTAs about you're quick, you're fast, you run precise routes. How has the whole experience been for you? And will this be your third offense at a professional level, two with the Giants and now the one with the Bears?
Yes, this is my third offense, obviously with Kevin Gilbride Sr. Early on in my career, and then Coach McAdoo after that, and then here with Coach Dowell. So this is my third offense that I'm getting to learn, and it's been fun. The journey's been great. Just obviously a learning curve as I'm continuing to learn the schemes and how they want things run here. But it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun with the guys and my teammates, my new teammates, getting to know those guys and, you know, kind of what they like and what they don't like and how the culture here is. And it's been nothing but good things, and it's starting to feel like I made the right choice.
Do you reinvent yourself, or do you take some of the old tricks that you've learned and kind of bring them with you and maybe help some of the younger guys but also help Victor Cruz?
You kind of drag that old bag of tricks and you shake them up and you see if you can get some new things out of there. And then and then you start being Santa Claus and start giving it out to some of the guys. So that's what I kind of do. I kind of want to bring my style and my personality and my route running ability to this team, as well as teach some of the younger guys, because I've been around for such a long time, teach some of the younger guys, you know, just the nuances of either route running or a mindset or how each guy is individually and how to get them prepared individually for whatever matchup they're going up against.
It seems like every one of your teammates that we talk to, they talk about the help that you give them inside the meeting room and obviously the stuff that you do on the field. What have you learned from them?
I've learned patience is key. I mean, those guys really are excited about the game. You can see that they want to learn. Each and every one of them want to learn, including myself. I'm still learning every day. I mean, my learning doesn't stop for me as this is year 8 into my career. It doesn't stop. It only continues to get better and to get more involved and things like that. But I've learned a lot of things from those guys, especially, Kevin White and Cam. I've learned a couple of secrets from them that I can't really tell.
Oh, come on. Give us a hint. Come on. You're a veteran. You can talk around it.
Oh, man. No, I wish I could. But just some running style abilities that they both have. Kevin is really strong at the top of his routes, and you can see that strength when he gets out of it and catches the ball strongly. I try to embody some of that whenever I see fit. And Cam is just really fluid with his route running, man, and to be that big and that tall and to be that fluid is pretty cool.
You know, we're kind of used to the training camp support you get from the fans of the Bears. Was it similar to your experience in New York? Is there more fan support here? Or how is the similarities between what you've already experienced and what you're experiencing for the first time?
It's pretty similar. The Giants are very concise on how they, do the fan and the open practices. There's only about 8 or 9 of them total, and they're all dated, and people come out and they go crazy. But here, there's like thousands of people out in Bourbon A every single day. Like,
well,
I wasn't
a couple days ago, there was a Victor Cruz fan in the stands.
Okay.
And above all
yes.
the noise, you could see he wanted to see Victor Cruz.
He was starting his own chant, and I was looking over there like, I don't know that guy from a can of paint.
Seriously?
Well, he's got an Urlacher jersey on. He's got pipes that don't need a microphone.
Exactly. I kept looking over there. I mean, I say hello. I said hello to him at least a dozen times.
Right.
And thinking that that's all he wanted, and he'll relax and kind of calm down. But it just, once I acknowledged him, it got worse. He was louder. We were on the other field, and he's yelling, and my teammates coming up to me was like, yo, is that your uncle over there?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know that guy.
Hey,
don't,
it's nice
don't
to
put that one
it's
on
nice
me.
To feel the love within a couple days of Chicago.
I don't know if you saw this, but during one of the practices, and it wasn't as bad for you, as bad as you think that was, and I guess he wanted all access. He can get it here on this show where Victor Cruz is our guest. There was one point in one of the practices in Bourbon A where, for whatever reason, Bobby Massey was getting the treatment from the fans, and they started chanting his name. Well, the rest of the offensive line, they had no idea what was going on. And they all start doing jumping jacks and chanting Bobby Massey throughout the practice. So,
that's
amazing. Things get fun when you're out and about away from home when you do training camp. And I think that's part of the bonding experience that everyone talks about.
Absolutely. I think, you're around these teammates 24/7. I mean, you're building a camaraderie around them. You're building a chemistry with your teammates. And, what better team to do that right now at this point in time but the Chicago Bears with Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky and, you know, Sanchez, a couple of new quarterbacks. I mean, we need this time to get to know each other both on and off the field.
I mean, that's – but then it kind of speaks volumes for your responsibility because you're not only helping the receiver room, you're helping the quarterback room, and then you're probably helping some young defensive backs out there going, look, if you see this from a receiver or this type of balance in and out of your break – I mean, it's a big responsibility you've taken on when you became a member of the Chicago Bears.
Exactly. And the responsibility I knew was going to be on my shoulders. And I'm excited for it. I want to embrace that challenge. And I'm excited to get this team better and be able to compete at a high level week in and week out.
Who did that for you? Because someone has to teach you how to do that. So when you were a young pup coming into the National Football League and not much was expected, who took you under their wing with the Giants?
I mean, there were guys like Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, and Eli Manning as well, believe it or not. I mean, once he saw that I was a big playability type receiver and he realized that on this team, he brought me in and started to teach me the nuances and teach me how he likes his routes run and where I should be, where I shouldn't be, how I should be there. And things like that. And that really taught me not just how to play the game, but how to treat the game and how to be a professional and how to be in your playbook and understand not only what you got, not only what your responsibility is, but what everybody's responsibility is.
You know, I think of the NFL today, there's only one cut. So some of those guys that are the free agents or the fringe opportunity, they're going to get an entirely extra week of practice to go in there before they play that fourth preseason game. I think of a guy like yourself, and I think of a guy like Tanner Gentry. How long did it take you to say, okay, I belong in the NFL, and I can be successful?
I think my rookie year, man, it took me a couple practices. I think it was maybe the third or fourth practice when I started to get comfortable and I started to understand the plays and the route running and the responsibility that was placed on me for that year. And I started making plays, man. I started going down the field and making plays left and right all over the field. And I think that's where Tanner Gentry is right now. He's comfortable. He's making plays when his number's called. And he's just getting more and more comfortable as the weeks go on, as the practices continue.
Was it your speed or your ability to catch?
I think it was a combination of both. Yeah. I think the speed was unexpected. I think, especially, you know, my rookie year, I don't think anyone expected me to be, I guess, as fast as I am. And then to the separation that I was getting with the quickness was just an added bonus, and it was just clicking on all cylinders.
Man, you were talking about some great catches, and Tanner Gentry's made some phenomenal catches out on the practice field. I know the Giants, your former teammate, Odell Beckham Jr., had one. Did you see this? They tweeted it out earlier in the week.
You can't escape it, man. You can't escape it.
With one hand, he caught a touchdown.
It's the gloves.
You think so? Uh-huh. I've seen him do it without gloves. I've seen him do it without gloves,
too. I say that facetiously.
Gotcha.
With respect to the ability to do it. But,
of course.
You know.
But forget about the Giants now, because you're with the Bears. Mm-hmm. Who is the Bear that had the training camp catch of 2017 in Bourbonnais?
Oh, man. Tanner Gentry is definitely up there, obviously, because he's just jumping over everyone. There was one catch that Cam Meredith made in the back of the end zone where it was like behind him. He barely saw it, and then he kind of popped his hip open and just caught it like last minute. And it was one of those things where it was like, okay, he's starting to come around. Like, you can tell that he's wants to be the guy. He wants to turn that page and be – build a reputation for himself. I think this year is a reputation year for him. Last year was a good year. He stepped up. He proved that he can play in this league. And I think this year is a year where he has to continue to prove that and build a reputation for himself that's going to supersede his name for years to come.
You know, I think Zach Miller, he's got a reputation around here of having highlight catches too. Mm-hmm. He's always an interesting guy to pay attention to in games because when you need that big one-handed stab, he's got that type of ability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Zach's a good dude. He's one of those guys that took me under his wing here on this team and showed me the ropes a little bit, and he's a good teammate.
Yeah, you got tight ends here that can make catches like receivers here. Because Shaheen also made one great one-handed catch during one of the practices.
And that is a
and
large.
And think Daniel Brown is an ex-wide receiver,
right.
A big tight end mm-hmm. now, but a wide receiver in his back in his catching days.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, man, there's so much to talk about with new Bears wide receiver Victor Cruz here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique Bear stories and interviews. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. We're joined by Bears receiver Victor Cruz here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, what's it like in a locker room with a whole bunch of new players? Because it's not just you that's new to the mix. There are a lot of fresh faces inside the Bears locker room. Are you guys still – I know you, Most people have been there for an entire offseason and now through training camp, but are you guys still getting to know one another off the field, personality-wise, all that kind of stuff?
A little bit. Obviously, off the field, you're starting to, you know, spend more time around guys and you're starting to get to know them. But at this point, I think we got some good teammates on this team that we've done a lot of that in Bourbonnais, in training camp, spending time with each other, walking back from the cafeteria, walking to practice, walking to the dorms, walking to meetings. We spend a lot of time around each other, and that's when we get to know one another and we talk and we just, you know, speak on our families, current events, whatever it is, and that's kind of giving us a beat to get to know one another. But, you know, that doesn't stop. That continues to happen throughout the year, throughout the season.
I bring it up because it's been a turbulent week in our country, and everyone, whether you're a football player or not, people have been talking about what's right and what's wrong and that kind of stuff. I'm sure that conversation has been taking place with you guys upstairs here at Hallis Hall.
It is, man, and it's disheartening for us because we want this country, this city, this organization, everywhere we go, we want to be treated fairly, and everyone wants to be treated fairly no matter what the color of your skin is. And we want that to be reciprocated throughout our nation, throughout our country. And unfortunately, at this moment, our country is in a lot of turmoil and a lot of violence and things like that. And it's unfortunate, but we just have to, you know, create a stand individually to our children, to our children's children, that, you know, this isn't right. And we have to be an example for them because we understand that this is a tough time in our nation right now, but we got to fight through it.
Like the football experiences that you kind of teach lessons to young guys that don't have the experience you do. Are those types of questions that these young guys, every one of those guys in the meeting room or in the locker room, that come to a guy that has some life experience like yourself?
Yeah, they ask me some questions and they talk to me about things that I've witnessed or just basically asking me how I felt about it. And I just tell them, man, it's sad. I mean, it's, for lack of any better terms, for lack of this grandiose, elaborate, you know, description or explanation I have for you, I really don't. It's just, this is a sad time. And we're right in the middle of it. And these are the things I was just telling BW Webb today. I was just telling them, these are the things that are going to be in our history books. These are the things that the younger generation is going to read about, and we're living in it. We're living through it. And we have to figure out a way to kind of change the narrative and change, you know, the mindset and where this is all going, because it's going down a rough path right now.
I know that back when the Eric Garner situation occurred in New York, when you were playing for the Giants, many athletes across the board, different sports, were active in terms of social media, wearing the shirts. I know that you I remember on Instagram, I think you tweeted out, I can't breathe. When do you go about deciding to use that platform for a greater purpose?
I think it's, first of all, it's understanding what, you know, what the purpose is and what you want to get across, how you want to get that across. And then it's just exactly that, using that platform, whether it be in a radio interview like this or whether it be on, you know, there's so many ways to do it yourself, whether it be Instagram, whether it be a platform like Uninterrupted, or whether it be whatever these platforms are, there's platforms and resources for you to get your voice across that'll be spread to the masses. And there's circumstances in which you have to do that. And like I said, the Eric Garner situation was one of those things where not just myself, but it was a national thing that went through many different sports, and it affected so many different people.
Well, speaking of your life in sports, how do you control your patience after the game? Because there's so much information out there, whether you're watching your game tape on your tablet or you're reading the responses on your phone. Do you have, you know, a course of action that you follow to make sure that you cool down, or, you know?
I don't. I'm right on Twitter immediately. Oh, yeah. I need to see what's going on. I need to see what's happening. Especially if I scored a touchdown, I want to see what the people are saying. I want to see what they're talking about. But even in the losses, I check it too, because I want to see, you know, if those same fans that were cheering for you when you score, when you do great, are they the same ones that are putting you down later? So I'm schematic about it a little bit.
But how do you take that deep breath though? Because the reaction's very different to a loss.
You got to have thick skin. I can tell you that for sure. I mean, you got to just understand that this is the world that we live in today. Fans are going to say what they want to say. They're going to write what they want to write. You know, at the end of the day, when they see you, they still love you and want pictures and photos and all of that good stuff. So
yeah, but when they're away from you, man, it gets weird.
Fingers get going, right? That keyboard is on fire when we lose. But You just got to take it with a grain of salt.
Well, if you're the type of guy, either America's Got Talent or Dancing with the Stars, what are you?
Oh, man.
Because everybody knows. I mean, you became famous
because
of your dance.
This is true.
And now I think that's something that eventually when your career is over, someone's going to try to capitalize that on one of these deals.
Yes, this is true. I've actually, ironically, have already been asked to do Dancing with the Stars a few years back and declined because I was just focused on, I was having a daughter, so many different things happening. But it would have to be Dancing with the Stars. I mean, I don't think I can compete with some of the talent on America's Got Talent. They do some crazy, wild stuff on that show. But Dancing with the Stars, it'll be more up my alley.
So you got more than the one
I can
dance.
Mix it
you
up.
Got, okay.
I can mix it up. These right. hips don't lie, man.
No, so see, now that we're at Victor Cruz, I mean, he's laying it out there. You know, he's more than just a one-trick dancer, I guess.
Exactly.
So have you thought about incorporating something new now that you're a Bear? When you get in the end zone.
I have. Not only because I'm a Bear, but because the good ruler in this entire NFL, Roger Goodell, has allowed us to be a little bit more free in the end zone, if you will. So I've been putting some thought to these things, man, and I want to incorporate my teammates somehow. So I almost, I'm probably giving it up here, but this is just a thought. I haven't discussed this with anyone. This is hot news here, right on the radio.
I like it.
I want to do where I'm kind of the choreographer.
Choreographer.
And I have all the offensive linemen do the dance.
Oh, man, Tom.
That would be unreal. If I can somehow coordinate that, that would be unbelievable.
The reason I didn't show up for the filming of the Super Bowl shuffle is because I did not want to dance on camera.
Oh, man.
There'd be no way. And then you'd see one guy just standing still. I didn't want to be that guy either.
That's amazing.
I really think that this is a segment that we need to have. Get some video in here. We'll have Victor kind of teach you how to do the salsa. A little something, Tom. Come on.
I admire their danceability. I admire Victor's danceability. I admire the courage to go out and do it on an NFL field after you score a big touchdown, because then all of a sudden I got to back this up.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something I can do once. I need to do it 15 times
exactly.
a season.
Exactly. And the first time I did it, I was just so in the moment. Like, my coach the whole week was like, hey, man, it's Hispanic Heritage Month. You got to do it if you get in the end zone. I'm like, coach, this is my first start ever. I'm an undrafted free agent.
Awesome.
Week three. I'm not doing – like, what are you talking about? I'm not dancing anywhere. I'm trying to catch every football and get first down. That's my goal.
You're like a modern-day Rocky, for gosh sake.
It's insane. And then I do it. I get in the end zone and do it. And then I come back to the sideline and I'm like, I have to live up to this. I got to do this every week. I can't just do it once. They're going to forget about it. And then, to God be the glory, I kept doing it week in and week out, won a Super Bowl, did it in the Super Bowl. I mean, you can't beat that.
No.
I mean, champion, too. I mean, that's something that Tom can relate to that. A lot of the people upstairs in the locker room can't, and I'm sure that's why you come with a lot of credibility into Halas Hall. But speaking of all these relaxed ways to celebrate from the NFL, you can also now wear different shoes. Then you can stand out with your footwear. Because B.W. Webb, you mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen him out there in orange cleats, pink cleats, gold cleats.
He's got a bunch of different colors,
I mean,
right?
And I know the further away you are from the football, out on the field, there's creativity. So I know that you're not just going in there with what everyone else is going to be wearing.
No, I got a couple guys that do some custom cleat work for me, man. So they're going to be doing some creative stuff for me throughout the season. So we'll see how it goes.
Are you the type of guy that can come out in warm-ups in one pair of shoe, go in, change, and then come out and go boom?
I can. I like having a fresh pair of shoes. I'm the new shoe guy. I do have to get them warm. I put them in a heater and I get them spread open a little bit.
Right.
They put the shoehorn in them and spread them open just to kind of soften them up a little bit. But I always need a fresh pair, man. I can go in and swap out and do what I need to do.
You're learning the inside stuff from Victor Cruz, the veteran receiver here with the Bears. Before we let you go here, something that I thought was really cool. Everyone kind of does something cool during the offseason. You went to Israel,
mm-hmm.
and you went in the Dead Sea where, Tom, if you don't know how to swim, it doesn't matter because there's so much salt in there, you can just float. What was that like?
It was unbelievable. That entire trip, I mean, my best friend got married. I was the best friend at his wedding. It was in Israel, so that's why we were all there. And then we go to the Dead Sea, and I didn't know what to expect. I know you can float. I know the whole ordeal, but until you get there and put your feet in, you don't know what to expect. So I walk in. The water's like jacuzzi warm, like hot.
Right.
And you kind of walk in. They tell you not to splash and get anything in your eye. And then you just kind of sit down in it and lean back. And you're kind of skeptical at first because you're like, I don't know if this can hold me. Like, I'm, you know, got some muscle here.
Pro athlete here.
So you literally sit back, and as you sit back, the water just picks you right up, and you're just floating. And you're just laying there just in awe of the scenery that's right around you and the fact that you're in Israel and you're in the Dead Sea. And some people will never, ever see this ever in their lives. And you're in it, you know, and you kind of just, you know, retrospect and kind of pay homage to the people that have walked this place before and just go in deep thought a little bit.
Yeah, amazing experience. You know, mm-hmm. you think of just your family members. You know, you're probably the only member of your
exactly.
family that's laid down in the Dead 100%. Sea to float up. And that's the great thing about football is the experience that allows you to have mm-hmm. as long as you're prepared and you act as a professional and you perform out there, you have the experiences of Victor Cruz.
Absolutely.
Dancing in the Super Bowl and floating in the Dead Sea.
God,
not a lot
good.
Of people that can say that.
Not a lot of people done both, right?
Right. They have mud baths there, apparently. Did you try that?
I tried the mud bath. There was a random lady, Jewish lady that was there, elderly, that was rubbing the mud baths on everyone. And part of me just thought she wanted to get her feels on, but I guess whatever works. Whatever works.
She must have been a big Giants fan
whatever
at the time.
Whatever works.
Before we say goodbye, give fans an idea of what Victor Cruz, the sequel, because this is part two of your NFL mm-hmm. career. Mm-hmm. What do you expect from yourself this season?
I expect more of the same. I think I'm back in a position where I'm comfortable, and that's in the slot. Although I can do things on the outside, wherever this team needs me, I feel like I can produce. But I feel like I'm myself. I feel like I can go out there and make plays at a high level, compete at a high level, and go out there and perform and be an extra catalyst for this team and Mike Glennon for all of us to win and to be successful and to be where I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to be to help this team win. And not only myself, but gather everyone around and rally this team with my experience, with my ability, and with my voice to the other receivers and everyone else to get them going and understand and say, hey, look, if we put everything in front of us, if we treat this game with respect, you only get good things that come out of it, and hopefully they're listening.
There are a lot of people, I think, inside that locker room that have the same kind of chip, if you mm-hmm. will, that you have. It's going to be exciting to see how this thing marinates together. Victor, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the time. Good luck the rest of the way.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Bears receiver Victor Cruz with us on Bears All Access. More coming up on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year round direct to your device. And, you know, we talked in the last segment about Inside the Bears, which airs Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. This week, encore edition of Inside the Bears, legends Urlacher, Hilgenberg, Booker, and Big Cat share advice with the Bears' 2017 rookie class. Jarrell Freeman hosts an NFL Play 60 event in Canada, and the Bears pay special tribute to a World War II veteran. Inside the Bears, airing Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just had a really insightful conversation with one of the new Bears, wide receiver Victor Cruz. I think it's one of the more mysterious position groups this season, Tom, because there's so many new faces in the Bears wide receiver room, and for years you kind of knew what you had. It's playing out before our very eyes out on the practice field and in these games.
Yeah, you know, and I brought back to the OTAs when you're first introduced to Victor Cruz on the football field along with 11 defensive players, 11 offensive players, and it kind of stood out how quick he is, off the line of scrimmage, how quick he is out of his breaks, how quick he is escaping from a defensive back coverages, and then how quickly he makes himself notified that he's a target on the specific play. And so now you start thinking about what Victor Cruz's reputation is coming into the Bears, and he's such a respected player. He's so productive. He's a former free agent who's turned into one of the most competitive slot receivers of a really physical position. And he just want all these things to happen good for him again in Chicago. And, you know, you're kind of reminded of the past, and I'm not I'm only bringing up Eddie Royal because he was the player that played this position in the past.
Slot receiver.
Yes. And what you think of what Victor Cruz can contribute to the room in terms of senior advice, senior leadership, advice to players like Cam Meredith and
Kevin
White. They need someone to talk to. They need a player to have that type of conversation with, because you can't always do it with your position coach. Sometimes you need a player in there that's had the experiences that you're living through to help you.
So it does matter, because we often hear leadership, a guy's important in the room. And I think on the outside, you know, because we haven't been inside a room with other players at the same position, we don't understand what that's like. Did you have a guy when you played with the Bears that, in addition to your position coach, who's the Hall of Famer in Dick Stanfield, but someone that you could rely on and say, hey, I'm having some difficulty with this, what do I need to do? Or someone who witnessed your technique and might have helped you out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of examples of it, because, you know, you think of Keith Van Horn and his experience being the elder statesman of all the offensive linemen in there. And then you have Kurt Becker, who you're battling with in the same position, and you kind of watch how he goes about his business, and he can help you. And then Jimbo Covert, Mark Bortz, and I are all the same age, and you kind of grow up together through it. And then you got Jay, who's going through a consecutive Pro Bowl streak, and he's as good at his craft as anybody is on the offensive line. But the reality of it is when you play for a coach like Dick Stanfield, who plays the same position you do, he explains every single step from the snap of the ball into the collision and how everything's going to unfold. So his advice in terms of how to play football was as good as you could get. But how to prepare yourself, a lot of it I did was watching the guys I was playing with, because I came here from the USFL and I played with a bunch of older guys. And then I came here and I kind of watched how these guys went about their business, and they had a more serious approach to their practice habits than we did in the USFL.
An approach that led to a championship eventually in 1985. By the way, a belated happy birthday to you, Tom.
Thank you.
I heard you mentioned everyone was the same age, so you know, we'll get you the cake after the show. But getting back to Victor Cruz, he mentioned that he likes what he's seeing from Kevin White out on the practice field. And you know, Kevin White isn't just trying to establish himself as a bona fide NFL player. He's also trying to do it coming back from two significant injuries. It's got to be hard for him to just get physically right to be able to do the things on the field that he used to do at West Virginia when he was in college.
Right. And then Victor Cruz said, I like what I see out of Kevin White at the top of his route. And I think that's the most important aspect, how a receiver is going to succeed. What does he do when he's making his specific break according to the coverage? What does he do when he makes his break, and how prepared is he to catch the football? And I think that's one of the observances that you like to hear Victor Cruz say, because if you said, oh, God, he can burst off the line of scrimmage, but he can't catch. He can burst off the line of scrimmage, but he can't get open. That would have lingering question marks in your head. So I'm encouraged by what he says and his observances of Kevin White.
Cameron Meredith is in a new position this year, not as a wide receiver, but from the standpoint that a year ago, Alshon Jeffrey drew the top cornerback from the other team. Now, that top corner, in all likelihood, is going to identify Cameron Meredith. How does that change his approach and the way the Bears go about using him in games?
You know, Cameron Meredith just has to have confidence in his size, because Kevin White and Cameron Meredith are both 6'3 plus. You're not going to face any cornerbacks that are 6'3 plus. So you have to gain the advantage during your route and then win the advantage when you're at the point of making the catch. And I saw a big catch at practice by Cam Meredith, and streaking down the sideline, had perfect timing, understood the flight of the ball, cradled it into his arms, and kept on his path. That's what everybody wants to see out of Cam Meredith. But when you do things repetitiously like the receivers do, you want them to always be able to use their size as an asset. And I think both Kevin and Cam also can.
There are a lot of other receivers in that room. And, you know, we talked about Tanner Gentry with Victor Cruz earlier, and he's made some phenomenal catches out there on the practice field. When do you begin to take an undrafted free agent seriously and saying to yourself, hey, you know what? There's something about this guy.
When you make the big catches, make the difficult catches, make the catches under coverage. We saw one the other day down at Bourbonnais that Tanner Gentry had a defensive back draped all over him in front of him, paid attention to the flight of the ball, was able to catch it, fall backwards into the end zone, and that's through instances of traffic before he actually made the catch. And that's what you like to see is, you know, you keep getting identified as making big catches in practices. They're going to give you opportunities in the game. And like I said, he's going to be one of the guys that's going to benefit from this extra week of training camp because there's only one cut. Here's where you may have to be thinking about what you're going to do at a receiver position, how you're going to thin it out. Now, man, that week before the Cleveland game, they're going to have a great week of practice.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then there's Marcus Wheaton, one of the veterans they brought in. He was recovering right now from a hand injury. So Kendall Wright is another receiver that they brought in from Tennessee. What does he bring to that room?
I think he brings more similarities to the quickness of a Victor Cruz. He understands, you know, when you're an offensive lineman, if you play right tackle, you have to know every assignment along the offensive line because you're working in combination on an instant's notice with all these guys. And I think that's the similarities between the receiver position. I think if you put Kendall Wright or Marcus Wheaton or Victor Cruz at any of the position, because of their experiences, they could play it. And now Cam Arith and Kevin White, they may need a little bit more experience before they can do that, but with Kendall Wright, I see the speed and I see the burst and I see the catching ability. Now it's just going to get it repetitiously done with the quarterbacks you're going to play with.
When we come back, John Fox, a player, told me last week before the Bears took the field, basically told the team, it doesn't count, but it counts. And he was talking about the preseason opener. Well, then, what does that make preseason game number two at Arizona? We'll ask Tom next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Start the season opening weekend off right with a day of music, food, football, and fun at the Miller Lite Bears Block Party in Logan Square, Saturday, September 9th. Get complete event details at ChicagoBears.com. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabeman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears getting set to visit Arizona on Saturday for preseason game number two. Like the Broncos last week, the Cardinals featured a top five defense last week. It's the first opportunity for all these new Bears to play a road game together, and clearly there's a lot of work to do, Tom, in regards to that first-team offense.
Right. You know, the experience of going on a road trip, they've been on plenty of road trips throughout their college career. It's no big a deal. You just dress nicer and eat a lot of food on the plane. But it's about now they have evaluation tape of you under a game performance from the week before. And the coaches watch it. The scouts watch it. Everybody in the position to make an evaluation of a player watches it. And now, what did you do well? What didn't you do so well? Can you do the things that you didn't do so well better in the second time around? Or is that going to be your weakness? Is that going to be the reason why we have to evaluate if you fit into this roster? So I think John Fox knows it, that there's pressure week one, there's pressure week two, three, and four. But I have been around the Bears for a long time. I don't think I remember a second preseason game have as much pressure involved as I do this second preseason game. Because the performance of the most popular position on the football team is the quarterback. And they brought Glennon here to be the starting quarterback, and then they drafted a player, traded up number two for, and then they brought the experience of Mark Sanchez, and they have Connor Shaw. So now every one of those players are going to be scrutinized so heavily because that's, you know, where the Bears have to make upgrades in their performance of that position. And because of what happened last week, everybody's looking for Glennon to play better, Trubisky to continue down his path, and Mark Sanchez to be the veteran leader of that position they need him to be.
All right, let's start with the first-team offense, kind of work our way down. I thought that a week ago, one of the things that surprised me more than anything is the fact that the Bears are supposed to be a power-running team, and they were not able to establish the run the way they liked with the first team. Is that just because you need a little bit of time to actually get hit, work together as an offensive line with the running back, the things that you can't really emphasize on the practice
field? That's a mentality commitment that when you're game planning against your opponent, that's when you start being a power running game. You're not going to take Jordan Howard and give him 70 carries throughout the preseason. That's too much of a toll you want to take on him. But as I'm evaluating my first opponent, I take a strict look at the weaknesses of the defense I'm going to face and how we're going to exploit those defenses. Now it's just on first week of the regular season, we're going to put in our two-back system with two tight ends. And you notice they opened the game with three tight ends and one back. The second week, we're going to work a little bit more on defense, on blitzing on the defensive side of the ball. And on the offensive side of the ball, we're going to work in one back and four wide receivers or three wide receivers, tight end. So it's the segments in that which you install your information throughout preseason. That has more of a factor on how you play the game than it does preparing for your opponent's weaknesses.
So is there any preparation for the opponent in a second preseason game?
Well, you do have an ability to take their tape, break it down, see what they're offering on first and 10, second long, third and down. So you get a better snapshot of the guys you play against, and you can pick up a lot of their qualities by watching the tape. But there's not the specificness of the every single down and distance throughout the 100-yard length that there will be during the regular season. It's more of still trying to install information that you're going to use at some point throughout the season.
All right, so break it down for you. What would signify improvement for the first team based on what you saw in week one?
A time of possession drive, something that looks really efficient. You know, if you go back and you think of last week's game, second down, they threw an incompletion to Cam Meredith, who the ball could have got there a little sooner, but, you know, it would have been nice if he would have made the catch. Then it would have changed that third down situation where they had the interception. And on the third down situation, Charles Leno gave up a little bit too much pressure to Glennon. Now he's trying to throw a real specific pass with the body coming into him. It takes a little velocity off the ball. So it's every play, Zach, we could go there and watch the first team offense, say, okay, we need this corrected on play one, this corrected on play two. And those, you know, that's one thing you never stop in football, is you never stop making corrections, because you have video evidence of every single practice and every single game. But you ask about a performance of the first team offense, can, you know, again, I don't care if Jordan Howard gets that involved. I want him to be ready for the Atlanta game in 25 to 30 carries. But, you know, can Jeremy Langford start to contribute? Is Tariq Cohen still a threat at the running back position? You know, you got a couple other guys that you want to get him the football. Can you get Kevin White involved in the offense a little bit, where maybe he has a couple catches? All those types of things that are going to be interesting to see out of the first team offense.
When we come back, there's a certain quarterback on this team that wears number 10 that was asked about the hype. And he said, I don't know what hype you're talking about earlier this week. I think he was kidding. He said it with a little bit of a smile, but I don't think you can ever have a better debut than what we saw from Mitchell Trubisky in his preseason opener. Now, what happens next from Arizona's standpoint and from Trubisky's standpoint? We'll ask Tom next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here at Halas Hall alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears getting set to take on the Arizona Cardinals in preseason game number 2. You know the old saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. You've seen a lot of first-round picks come and go, Tom, in regards to the navy blue and orange. Mitchell Trubisky had as good of a debut as you could have hoped, considering where he was picked, what was expected of him, and going out there on the field. Granted, they say twos, threes, they're playing man coverage, but to go out there and look like you belong, I think that's what you want to see in a first preseason game.
Well, you know, regardless of what coverage they are playing or what level you are on the depth chart, it's about the assets you saw to Mitchell Trubisky, his ability to run a moving pocket, his fluidness when has accuracy when he's throwing the ball downfield, his ability to have straight drop back, read downfield efficiently, work up inside the pocket and get the ball out of his hands. Those are the things that you want to see out of a quarterback. But now, take all the difficulty in learning in an NFL system, the terminology and everything, and then add crowd noise when you're trying to verbally put all the commands out there. So now if Mitchell Trubisky goes in the game too and has a silent snap count, you're not really working on the reaction to the snap count that everybody is hearing as verbal commands at home. It's kind of like guessing and anticipating the rhythm of the count by the center and make sure you're all on time together, because the worst thing you can do is start it in increments, and that, you know, that creates a lot of trouble up front.
So aren't you naturally playing a beat slower just because you have to wait?
Unfortunately,
second.
Yes, but that you really don't want to, because playing a beat slower plays into the hands of the defense. What you really want to do is you want to try to all react together, because if one guy is reacting, even if the center, even if someone's reacting at an eighth of an instant faster, that's giving defense recognition and they're off the ball. And now if you're an offensive player and you're half second slow, you're beat.
We heard Trubisky say this week that there's still some things that he's really trying to work on. Correctly identifying the middle linebacker, he said, has still been an issue for him, as well as his drops. What does that mean for people who don't play quarterback?
Well, first of all, he calls the play in the huddle. And say you have a pass play you call in the huddle, you have to understand the direction the protectors are going, because that's going to identify a linebacker that you're responsible for in the backfield. Or it's the responsibility, along with the defensive linemen, the linemen are also responsible for this linebacker. So you always have to know what linebacker you're exposed to. And if it's a running back that has that assignment, he has to know that, look, if this guy comes immediately, he's all mine. And it's difficult because when you're just learning the terminology and you say in the huddle, man, you're thinking about it all the way up until the snap of the ball. Eventually, the terminology will become second nature and he's not thinking about it anymore, and you're going to see everything processed faster. That means his rhythm of his snap count, his ability to get in and out of the line of scrimmage, and all the things that you need to see every single player do efficiently, because mental mistakes are an exposure of a weakness that sometimes, you know, if you don't know the system well enough, you can't play.
See, Trubisky was saying that the Broncos weren't really disguising anything defensively, so it's a lot easier. He said he was doing it better in the game than he has been at practice, because the Bears are trying to make things hard for him
right
on the practice field. And you've got Vic Fangio, one of the best defensive coordinators in football, and they're trying to disguise everything to make him have to think, like you said. The Broncos didn't make him do that. In a second preseason game where now there's tape on the kid, do the Cardinals maybe do different things in terms of their disguises? They're a heavy blitzing team as well.
Right. But like we talked about, putting things in segments, week two is a different segment they're going to do defensively than they did week one. And I do think Arizona Cardinals will probably come and say, all right, we're going to take advantage of the assistance of the crowd noise we have defensively. We're going to start showing some blitzes. Or, you know what, let's do this. Let's start showing blitzes that we have no intentions of using during the regular season. But when our first opponent gets this film, they're going to spend a half a period trying to block this blitz that we never have any intentions in using. So some of the deception is created in what they want to use in a game that they're never going to use during the regular season. But it is about the responsibility of the Bears offense to understand your assignment according to the direction of the play called in the huddle. And though that's always what you have to go back to, listen to the commands of the quarterback, understand what your assignment is, and go and work with the teammate next to you, right or left, or, you know, if you're a running back or a receiver, go about your assignments.
You know, the thing that impressed me the most, the poise. Because I think for a first game, the command and poise that a rookie who's never done it before displayed, and I know he's a high draft pick, but the fact that he was able to do it and it didn't look like the moment was too big for him, it gives you confidence heading into a first road game.
Right. You know what's interesting is in watching practice, you know, Mark Sanchez displays poise and confidence in his protection, and he can see downfield and he can go to a second, third read. And sometimes the opportunity to live through practices with a player who's kind of in command of what ultimately you want to be, it's a good example too for him to see. And so how does he react to this defense? This is how I need to react.
Yeah, he got an opportunity, Trubisky did, to play a little bit with the twos near the tail end of the first half and into the second before joining the threes. It'll be fun to see if he can take what he did last week and continue it this week
it's
on the road.
It's fun if you play well.
Yeah.
It creates a sleepless night if you go out there and don't perform up to the level that's expected of you.
Well, we'll find out Saturday what these guys do.
Yes.
Tom, thank you so much. I'm Zach Zaidman. This has been Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.